The Roots of Abraham. Commentary for the May 7, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Genesis 12:7. This week we come to an important nexus in biblical history, the story of Abraham. He is such an important figure that for millennia, Jews have considered Abraham to be their father and themselves his sons. It is strange then that so little of his life prior to his exodus from Ur is shared in the Bible. We know that his father, Terah, was an idolater, but it is never explained how an idolater could father a son who was a worshiper of the true God. Even in the writings of Ellen White, we find little about Abraham prior to the death of Terah, although she too acknowledges the widespread idolatry in Terah's family. But we are not without sources for Abraham's experiences in Ur and Haran, including Talmudic accounts, as well as references from Flavius Josephus. From the Bible, we learn that Nimrod ruled over an area in and near the Euphrates Delta, which included Ur, where Abraham lived. This set the stage for confrontation between the idolatrous ruler and the faithful servant of God. The story is rich with symbolism and contains several types to be echoed in later antitypes with which we are more familiar. I will share a synopsis of the story, but those who are wanting more detail can visit Chabad.org, a Jewish history site, which provided much of the information I am sharing. Nimrod is told to have ordered the construction of the Tower of Babel as a symbol of his power and authority, even proclaiming himself a god in direct opposition to the true God. One night, an unusual star appeared in the sky, and Nimrod consulted his astrologers to discover its meaning. They predicted that it foretold a usurper that would overthrow his rule. In response, he ordered the deaths of all male children to eliminate the usurper. The one entrusted with this task was Terah, Abraham's father. Nimrod had driven most of the godly descendants of Shem from his realm, but Terah chose to cast his lot with Nimrod and joined him in his idolatry. He faithfully set about the task of destroying the male babies as ordered. But he was conflicted about the task as his wife was pregnant and about to give birth. If the child were a girl, all would be well. But she gave birth to a boy. When Nimrod inquired about the birth, Terah offered him a boy born to a slave in his son's place and hid his son away out of the city. Nimrod, impressed with Terah's loyalty, accepted the child as Terah's own and put it to death. In ways, this story is a type foretelling the murder of the innocents at the time of Jesus' birth. As Nimrod thought the problem was taken care of, so did Herod. Once weaned, just as Moses was turned over to Pharaoh's daughter, Abraham was sent to live with Noah and Shem, who shared with him what they knew of God and the history of humanity. Noah was able to learn directly from Methuselah when he was alive, and Methuselah got his account from Adam, who witnessed the fall and its results. This, coupled with the testimony of the natural world, was convincing for Abraham, who cast his lot with the godly line. Feeling that God needed a voice among the people in Nimrod's kingdom, he returned to call people to worship the one true God. He appealed to Terah, his father, and to Nimrod to worship God. Nimrod asserted that he was a god and that Abraham should worship him instead. Abraham pointed out that the sun always rises in the east, so if Nimrod could make it rise in the west, that would demonstrate that he is God. Otherwise, it would demonstrate that there is a power greater than his. This angered Nimrod, who ordered Abraham be cast into a pyre to perish in the flames, but he came forth unharmed. This type foreshadows the three Hebrew worthies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were also cast into a blazing fire for failing to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's idol. They also emerged unharmed. This incident is offered up to also explain why Lot, Abraham's nephew, accompanied him to Canaan. Haran, Lot's father, was on the fence about Abraham's preaching. But when Abraham emerged unharmed from the fire, he decided to take his stand with his brother and jumped into the fire himself. But unlike Abraham, he perished. Lot then attached himself to his uncle Abraham. When faced with Abraham's invincibility and Terah's betrayal of his trust, Nimrod drove the entire family from Babylon. They decided to settle in Haran, north of Canaan. Terah had been a priest before Nimrod and his wife Semiramis, becoming wealthy by manufacturing idols and selling sacrifices. When he was forced to leave all of that behind, he chose to accept the God of Abraham. An interesting side note, Abraham's faithful servant Eliezer was given to him by Nimrod as recompense for having him thrown into the fire. This is the same servant that Abraham thought would become his heir until he had a child in his old age with Sarah. Nahor, Abraham's surviving brother, accompanied the family to Haran, but continued with his idolatry, passing it on to his descendants, including Laban, the father of Rachel and Leah, who tried to take the family idols with them when they fled with Jacob. Later, seeking to purify his family of idolatry, Jacob demanded his wife surrender the idols and buried them. The Bible picks up the story of Abraham when he goes forth from Haran to dwell in Canaan after the death of Terah. One can almost understand why Abraham continued to dwell with his father. Terah had lost so much because of his efforts to protect his son from being executed as a child. That kind of a debt is not easily dismissed. It is interesting to note that the followers of Muhammad, who also trace their lineage back to Abraham through Ishmael, give testimony in the Quran of Abraham's confrontation with an idolatrous king. That both faith traditions' accounts would have such consistency both internally and externally with one another grants additional weight to its likelihood. So why does the Bible say that God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia to Canaan if he was driven out by Nimrod? I am reminded of my own experience in the military. I served over 6 years in the Army, and I made every attempt to be faithful to God and His will for my life. This created confrontation at times with superiors who gave little thought to morality or the well-being of those serving under them. Nonetheless, I continued to be faithful to God's will, telling myself that if God had wanted me in the military to witness for Him, nothing could prevent it, and if He wanted me out, nothing could prevent that. Therefore, when a new battalion commander sought to harm me and take my life, I was out of the military within days. The order came down via the Department of the Army to expedite my discharge to prevent further harm by the commander. Though in a sense, I was also driven out, I too believe that God had called me out. From my duty post in Alaska, I traveled to Walla Walla College and eventually completed a double major in theology and biblical languages, my discharge being timely for enrollment for the fall term. While I have sought to continue to share my faith and grow in my understanding of its implications for my life, very few people know of my backstory, but that backstory was very instrumental in who I became in life. The backstory of Abraham is also important. It explains the centuries of struggle the Jews had over idolatry and human sacrifices. It took captivity by the very kingdom they left, Babylon, to finally cure them of such practices. Even then, only a remnant returned from Babylon to start anew. Most chose to remain in Babylon with the idol worship and the polytheism. I believe that Terah's sacrifice in support of his son Abraham will be rewarded one day. People may believe they are being supportive and faithful, but like Nahor, they want to keep everything else as well. They see the opportunity to become wealthy and abandon principle to go along with the world in accumulating what they can, no matter what damage it does to others, or even to their own moral compass. We were not intended to live like that. Nonetheless, potential power over others is seductive, and wealth is offered by this world to accumulate that power. The courage of Abraham to turn his back on the wealth and power available through his father's influence in Babylon is remarkable, to say nothing of the nation that eventually grew from that determination to choose faithfulness over power and wealth. The choices we make today can resonate for millennia, even to eternity. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the footnotes with the sources supporting the ideas shared in this podcast and the written copy of the podcast at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries at that website. May God richly bless you and your family.